council meeting. We are about to start. This is your 5-minute warning. If you are on the council, please come up and take your seats. Thank you.
Checking the feed for the scribes. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Checking to the scribes. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Checking to scribes. Really? No, not to me. I'm putting au maximum.
Tim, we're Tim. Can you hear me? Tim, we can hear you. Well, we haven't started yet. Okay. No problem. Right. Hello, everyone. We will start the council meeting now. Operator, please start the recording. Can we have confirmation that the recording has started, please? Great. Well, thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to the Dakar GNSO Council meeting on the 26th of October. Before we go into the meeting agenda, let me just explain for the benefit of everybody in the room and the people participating online the way that this meeting is going to go today. We will have our normal open council meeting with the current council members up until 6 p.m. local time. At that time, we will break. We will say fond farewell to the outgoing councillors, and we will then reconvene with the new council and those councillors that are new to the council will be invited to come up here and take their place on the council. This half an hour council meeting from 6 till 6:30 will only have one agenda item, and that is the election of the new council chair. So this is a two-part meeting, the regular council meeting up until 6, and then just the new council sitting everyone and electing the chair. Having said that, our first agenda item before we go into our regular business is an agenda item that is something new that we are trying for the first time here. In Dakar. Those of you who are regular followers of the Open Council meetings and our council meetings in general know that we have begun to, as a council, to work on improving the Open Council meetings, both in terms of how to improve the participation from the community, be it remotely or from the people in the room, and to make the council meetings themselves flow more smoothly and be more entertaining, for want of a better word. So we are trying something new here in Dakar, which is we've asked the stakeholder and constituency group leaders to make presentations to the council should they want to. We have invited all the stakeholder group and constituency leaders to do so. And at this point, I would like to highlight the fact that this initiative has been brought by Jeff Newman, who worked with Glenda Saint-Jury, our secretariat, on preparing the agenda for this whole Dakar week for the GNSO Council. And for that, I think they certainly deserve a big thank you. It's a big job, and it's especially appreciate. I mean, we really appreciate seeing new initiatives like this. Some might work, some might not. We'll stock take after the meeting. And if you have suggestions on how you feel the Open Council meetings should be changed or run differently, please do not hesitate to participate in that debate, either by taking advantage of the open microphone sessions that we will have sprinkled throughout our agenda today, or by participating in our weekend sessions that we have before every ICANN meeting. And there's actually a group, council group, working on this issue as well. So there's plenty of opportunity to have your say, and if you feel that there are things that we can improve, please do not hesitate to let us know. I should also remind everyone that our council meetings are open. In fact, I can't think of any GNSO council session that is not open, so participation once again is encouraged, and you can do so if you're doing so remotely by using the Adobe Connect room. That there's a link on the Dakar meeting schedule, and simply log in as guest, type in your name, and you can participate. So with that, I will pass it over to Jeff for the first item on today's agenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. This was one of the ideas that came out of that group that Stefan was talking about trying to make the meetings more interactive. And one of the reasons was, you know, we get together on the weekends and we talk about some of the policy items, but there's always a gap because it's always on Tuesday that the constituencies and stakeholder groups meet and discuss the issues. And so this is really to try to get an idea of what the constituencies, stakeholder groups talked about, any changes or different thinking in some of the issues that are on the agenda. So without further ado, the first group I'm going to ask are the registry stakeholder group. And so if David Maher could come up and just give a couple minutes. Again, this is interactive, so if there are any questions, feel free to come up to the mic behind David and ask some questions as well.
Thank you, Jeff. We had our regular Tuesday stakeholder group meeting here in this tent. Not exactly the best venue for discussion, but we still got through the agenda. We started out with GNSO updates. We went through the council motions, the motions pending today before the council, including the PDP process, RAA, relationships with law enforcement, the UDRP. We moved to brief review of the affirmation of commitments review team in all of the three items: accountability, transparency, the who is, security, stability, and resiliency. We talked briefly about the who is studies that are going on in the council. At 11 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, Kurt Pritz, John Jeffrey, came to our meeting, and we had about an hour-long discussion of the new GTLD process developments, including the continuing operations instrument, the EBRO, and an extensive discussion of the IDN proceedings. One of our particular interests is the single letter IDN possibility, and we had an exchange with the ICANN staff about that status. We brought up the question of the applicant guidebook, the fact that there have been suggestions for revisions in what is labeled the final version. There have been comments about that, and we asked about the status of those revisions. The answer seemed to be that we'll find out at some point. We asked questions of ICANN staff about the cross-ownership inquiries that have been made to competition authorities. And finally, one of the things we learned is that Carla Valenti, who is our interim registry stakeholder group representative, will continue in that role until possibly new staff is hired. We then moved to the stakeholder group business. We had a treasurer's report from Ken Stubbs. There were no proceedings to vote on. And at that point, we broke for lunch, and at 1 o'clock moved on to the new form of our meeting with the ICANN board. I thought that meeting from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock was one of the best we've had, a good deal of interchange, not a lot of questions from the board, but we had an opportunity to make the points that we thought were important, including cross-ownership, continuing operations, the Jazz proposals, ethics issues, the question of amending ICANN's ethics rules, the revolving door issue. There was a brief discussion of takedown issues, the relationships between registries, registrars, law enforcement. We made the point that we regard our relationships with law enforcement as very successful, very positive. To our knowledge, there's no friction. We're looking for better ways to cooperate. At that point in our meeting with the board, Rod Beckstrom left the room, and we had a very candid discussion with the board about our thoughts on the selection of a new CEO. Following that board meeting, we came back here and discovered, not to our surprise, that the temperature had risen considerably. Notwithstanding, we had a very good presentation from Maggie Sarod about ICANN contractual compliance issues, followed by a very thorough presentation from Adam Peek, Vanda Scartazzini, regarding the NOMCOM. And we urged NOMCOM to take into consideration a very interesting technical point that the NOMCOM representative, in effect, can become a tiebreaker. So it's a very key appointment, and we had a lot of discussion of that. Finally, Kathy Kleiman appeared and gave us a brief presentation about the status of the Who Is review team, the Affirmation of Commitments review team, and we emphasized that we urged that team not to take on the role of developing policy, but rather to raise questions about policy. And we concluded at about 4:30, moved on to a joint meeting with the registrar's stakeholder group, fortunately in an air-conditioned room, and had quite a number of topics for discussion with the registrars, the RRA, the new GTLDs, and the amending the bylaws of our, or the charters of our respective groups, so that we can make sure that we don't have people voting in two separate stakeholder groups or constituencies. So, thank you.
Thanks, David. Anyone have any questions for David?
Jeff, if I can just, there's a question online which I think we should answer. It's asking what's the difference between a stakeholder group and a constituency, and we sometimes forget that our structure is not clear to everybody, far from it. So I just wanted to explain that in the building blocks that make up the GNSO, the constituencies are, and the stakeholder groups are groups that are of common interest, the difference being that a stakeholder group can have constituencies in it. So a stakeholder group can either be made up, as is the case with the registries, the stakeholder group that David chairs, of one group, one common group of interest, or they can be made up of several constituencies. For example, the commercial stakeholder group is made up of several constituencies. All these groups are out of the GNSO restructure that has been going on for a few years and that has transitioned the GNSO from a structure where there was only constituencies in it before to one where there are now constituencies and stakeholder groups. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. Anyone with any questions for David? Okay, the next one is the Registrar's Stakeholder Group, and Mason Cole will be giving the presentation.
Thank you, Jeff. I should point out for the council's benefit, which I know everyone's aware, but this morning I formally stepped down as chair of the Registrar Stakeholder Group, so, right? So as to assume my seat on the council later on. We had a very productive day with the registrars yesterday. We began at 9 a.m. We went all the way to 5:30, as David said. We almost always have a very crowded agenda. Yesterday was no exception. As you've seen by the note that I posted to the list, we've been in discussions for some time now with ICANN staff about a process related to our accreditation agreement. We very rarely meet in closed session, but we did have a closed session yesterday to discuss that. Yesterday morning, we moved on to a discussion with the compliance team. Maggie Surratt and her team came in and gave a discussion about ICANN's compliance program, and with a survey that she's starting where registrars can self-assess and provide information to the compliance team as a way to enhance the compliance function. We had several other pieces of stakeholder group business, things like our banking system and the need to change our bylaws, particularly in light of vertical integration as that approaches. We broke briefly for lunch. We went then into a discussion with ICANN's policy team. David Olive and his very very good team came in and gave a general update on policy activity. We had an extensive discussion about the policy team's current capacity, which was brought up to the council in its sessions over the weekend. And I think we had a mutually productive discussion about how to assist with the GNSO's current overload of policy work. We left that meeting. We went to talk with the board. We had several items on that agenda. We discussed the meeting that the GNSO had with the GAC on Sunday. We talked about domain name takedown procedures. The board was interested in discussing that. We talked a bit about ethics guidelines that ICANN is examining now. So we had a good session with the board. We went then back into session with the registrar liaison staff. And I won't bore you with all those details, but it was administrative issues about our interaction with ICANN. We were then joined by the NOMCOM. The chair of the NOMCOM, Adam and Vanda, joined us. And we talked about the NOMCOM and the need for greater outreach to help the NOMCOM fulfill its duties to ICANN. We broke from that session. We said happy birthday one day in advance to our friend Jeff Eckhaus and to Tim Cole, whose birthday is tomorrow. So be sure to wish Tim a happy birthday tomorrow. And then as my friend David went into detail, we had a joint meeting with the registries. There's no need for me to repeat what we discussed since he gave you an accurate read of that. And that was our meeting.
Thanks, Mason. Anyone have any questions for the registrars? And for counselors, if you can use Adobe, too, because it's hard to see all the way down there. I know someone had their hands raised. Oh, Christina.
Hi. Thanks, Mason. I can tell you that on behalf of the IPC, we are very much appreciative of the registrar's action with regard to the future RIA amendments. I was hoping perhaps you could add a point of clarification, though, in that yesterday during the GAC board meeting, Kurt Pritz reported to the GAC that the negotiations would cover the high-priority topics. But the statement that the registrar's release doesn't identify the scope of the topics. Can you clarify or confirm for me?
We haven't confirmed that with staff just yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Christina. Thanks, Mason. Any other questions? Okay. Oh, the next
Mary,
group.
Jeff. Oh, Jeff, Mary has a question.
Sorry, Mary. It's hard to see. Mary.
Thanks, Jeff. It's not so much a question, Mason, but just to follow on Christina's comment that my stakeholder group and specifically the NCUC within that stakeholder group will be very interested in the outcome of that clarification as well. Thank
sure.
you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Any other questions?
Adrian.
Jeff, Adrian has a question.
Thanks, Adrian.
It's not a question. On behalf of the registrars, I'd just also like to show my appreciation for the work that the registrars have done.
Thanks. Thanks, Adrian.
Adrian's also going to be introducing his own thank you motion to himself later on. Thanks, Mason. The next we're going to have from the non-commercial stakeholder group, we're going to have first Konstantinos to talk about what happened at the NCUC meeting.
Thank you, Jeff. We had a very productive meeting with new and existing members. NCUC, we represent approximately 100 organizations, non-commercial organizations, and more than 100 individuals who many of them were able to join in remotely. NCUC, the non-commercial users constituency, discussed the issue of the UDRP review, both from a substantive and a procedural point of view. At the meeting, we all recognized that there are significant issues with the UDRP that need to be addressed, and for NCUC, the UDRP review is one of its priorities. Part of these discussions was focused on the kind of time frame that needs to be regarding the review of the UDRP. We also discussed the issue of domain name takedowns, and many of the NCUC members raised significant concerns about the balance between due process and free speech and the need to take down domain names. NCUC considers that domain name takedowns as an issue is an issue that relates to access. Therefore, it is very important, and we also discussed in this regard what is or should be the role of ICANN. We also discussed issues of global outreach and how NCUC can help ICANN, the ICANN community, to expand and become more inclusive of members, especially from the developing world. We also discussed as part of this process also what is how the fellowship program assists. Then we had the non-com that came to give us an update on their processes, and we also had a visit from the PIR group, in particular Brian Cute and Paul Diaz, that made an introduction, and we exchanged some very interesting ideas. And finally, last but not least, we also discussed some procedural issues that concern the constituency, especially the forthcoming elections that the non-commercial users will be holding soon, as well as issues concerning the NCUC charter. Our meeting was only half a day because afterwards we met as a stakeholder group. Thank you.
Thanks, Konstantinos. Any questions? Comments? Okay, great. Next, we're going to hear from the newest constituency, also within the non-commercial stakeholder group, the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns constituency, the NPOC. That's Debbie Hughes.
Thanks, Jeff. It's my pleasure to bring the first update from this brand-new constituency on behalf of the more than 34 international nonprofit organizations representing all five ICANN regions. I'm delighted to say that we were joined at our meeting by SchoolNet Africa. Some of you may be aware of that organization. SchoolNet Africa is an organization that unites more than 33 African affiliates providing ICT and internet-related education throughout Africa, and they are very interested in our constituency as well. So we were excited to see them. We've also done a lot of outreach around the world, which I'll talk about in a second, but just wanted to first say that our meeting that we had on Tuesday focused a lot on our organizational requirements. As you can imagine, a brand-new constituency, there's a lot to do. Organizationally. And so we have a set of interim leadership members, and they are currently Amber Sterling from the Association of American Medical Colleges. Our interim vice chair is Alain Beranger from Fondation Chaskinet. Our interim policy chair is Judy Branzell from Goodwill Industries. And we have two representatives to the non-commercial stakeholders group executive committee. They are Klaus Stahl from Fondation Chaskinet and Michael Carson from YMCA of the USA. Klaus Stahl is also serving in the role of our interim communications and membership chair, and I am serving as the outgoing board-appointed counselor. So we spent a lot of our meeting talking about the pending, and actually throughout the week via email, about the pending policy issues that are going on, in particular trying to review the proposed JAS statement that was being offered by the NCSG, and we were pleased to be able to join with them in supporting that, in supporting the JAS efforts. As a matter of fact, one of our very new members was an active participant in that work group, and we were pleased that he was able to jump right in and start working. We also talked about the amendments to the RAA and also the potential upcoming review of the UDRP. Several of our organizations are very concerned, too, about security and stability because of the important fundraising activities and other activities that we perform. So we're planning to really focus a lot on DNSSEC and other stability and security-related concerns. And as a matter of fact, at our last NPOC meeting that we had last month, we had a visitor. Dr. Crocker visited us and spoke to us about DNSSEC. So DNSSEC is really important to our organizations, and we're looking forward to being engaged there. We wanted to just highlight for you some of the exciting things that are going on with our new constituency and invite you to reach out to them as you see them walking around in the next ICANN meeting. Although we won't have a counselor that's actually sitting on the GNSO Council, we are excited to be a vibrant member of the ICANN community and are going to do the best that we can to try to get representatives there so that we can participate in events like this, talking about our constituency. Just wanted to highlight that some of the organizations that are involved, there's an organization called Global Knowledge Partnerships, which is a wonderful multi-stakeholder network of organizations that are devoted to providing internet and ICT knowledge throughout the world. They were founded in 1997. They've got their a presence in more than 50 countries. So we're excited about their participation and their membership. Another such organization is the YMCA of USA. We were able to get a member here for his very first ICANN meeting. He is a member of our executive committee, and Michael Carson is here. And so we were glad to see their organization's participation. From an organizational perspective, we are still continuing our outreach, as I mentioned. We have currently 34 members. We have another 19 or so with applications that are ready to be reviewed. And we collected 10 applications, actually, at the IGF, which was really exciting. And we're really trying to encourage nonprofit organizations to make ICANN the place where they can talk about internet governance, which we think is really important. We're planning a presence at eAsia early in Bangladesh. We're also trying to plan a workshop in Costa Rica, which will be a challenge since we're going to have to figure out how to get ourselves there. But we are excited about being in Costa Rica. We are committed to being there. And we're going to have a wonderful workshop at ICANN 43. We're also planning a webinar on December the 6th. You know, part of being a new constituency, in addition to explaining the policy issues and how to navigate work groups, and we all know outreach is important, but you got to figure out how to teach them about ICANN. And so this webinar on December the 6th will be not only about the important initiatives like the new GTLD program and what that means for nonprofits, but also ICANN 101. What is ICANN? How do you get involved? What's a work group? You know, we didn't want to dump these organizations into the ICANN mix without helping them navigate. And so we're really excited that we're going to have this webinar on December 6th, and we'll be sure to share that information and so that you could pass it on to those who might be interested. So we're really excited, ready to be engaged, ready to be involved. Looking forward to all of our members being active members of the non-commercial stakeholders group. Looking forward to continued outreach. One thing that I've always said is outreach is not a destination, it's a process. And I'm committed to that. And I am committed to being involved in this multi-stakeholder process as long as our organizations have a voice and have the ability to be involved. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Debbie, and welcome to the welcome as a constituency, and it's a great report and lots of interesting things going on, so that's great. Now we're going to turn to the commercial stakeholder group, and the first constituency from the commercial stakeholder group is the commercial and business users constituency, and they're represented right now by Marilyn Cade. So, Marilyn.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm the chair of the business constituency, which is the short name of the commercial and business users constituency. And I brought cue cards and gifts. And I see that you're passing them out to the counselors. I'll speak very briefly, but let me open my remarks by saying the following. I want to tell you how much that my constituency appreciates the work that the council does. There are former counselors in our constituency, as there are in yours, and we're very aware of the workload, because generally it slops over into our days as well. It is a tremendous workload, and we're really appreciative of the work that you do. So I'd like to open my remarks with that and how important we do think the work of the council is. My comments will be focused not on what we do on Constituency Day or on GTLD policy. We will leave that to our very able counselors. I will, and if you're interested in our agenda or you're interested in what we do, we transcribe our calls and our meetings. We also do minutes of our meetings, and they are posted on the public archive on our website, www.bizconst.org. And yes, I know, I have to change the name. The second thing that I would like to say, though, is I want to share with all of you something that I hope you will find useful. The business constituency launched its quarterly newsletter in time for Dakar. It is something we developed ourselves. It cost us roughly 1,000 euros, and that includes printing 500 glossy copies. Sometimes people think that developing collateral is very expensive. We did this ourselves. We wrote it ourselves. We're highlighting our members. The contributions of the photos and the intellectual capital we hope makes it look good, and we would welcome sharing with you the process that we use should you be interested in undertaking something like that. But I will ask you to look at the sheet, the single sheet that I handed out. And I want to acknowledge the Vice Chair of Finance and Operations, Chris Chaplow, and our part-time Secretariat, Benedetta Rossi. And after I tell you what a great job they did, do not try to poach them. The inside of the brochure and the sheet I gave you is a code sheet to understand who the new leadership is of the GNSO Council, the SGs, and the constituencies. And hopefully this will support Stefan's verbal explanation of the building block approach. We were inspired to do this because of the challenge of explaining on the back of cocktail napkins how the council, the SG, and the constituencies fit together. So we hope you'll find this helpful. It will be available on our website in a single-page PDF that you'll be able to download and use freely, and we will keep it updated. We will also have the full brochure posted as well. The second thing that I would like to just mention is that in Cartagena, a few of the chairs of the SGs and constituencies gathered for breakfast informally. We had 4 participants and 2 regrets. And at this meeting, the chairs of the stakeholder groups and the constituencies, joined by the chair of the council and the 2 vice chairs, had an informal, ad hoc, no-host breakfast. That means we all bought our own. And did not talk about GTLD policy because my view is that's really not what we should be doing. And we talked about the larger ecosystem challenges. I think everyone enjoyed it, found it a worthwhile thing to do. And as time permits, I think we're going to try to do it again. I want to make a comment about what our understanding in the BC, led by John Berard, one of our counselors, was that perhaps this segment would turn to more interaction with the participants, both remotely and also in the room, around GTLD policy topics. I might suggest that next time, if you all agree, that if you would move forward with that and maybe have a sort of a list of topics that you want people to comment on ahead of time, they could prepare for that. But you might want to also factor into that talking to Glenn and the staff about slightly changing your room setup I'm not going to go into how to organize it. You have expert staff to do that. But, of course, if you're going to be able to facilitate remote participation, it does take some pre-planning. And so I just mentioned that so that you could address it in time for the Costa Rica meeting planning. Thank you.
Thanks, Marilyn. Anyone have any questions for Marilyn? Comments? Okay, let's move on to the next constituency in the commercial stakeholder group, the intellectual property constituency, and that will be given by Mr. Paul McGrady.
Good afternoon, everyone. Just a brief update on our meeting. We had a very concise agenda because of our pre-Dakar calls. We try to take as many decisions as we can before we get here, especially in situations like this where the venue perhaps was a little challenging for the majority of our membership to make it. I think, without a doubt, the highlight of our meeting yesterday was the visit from various members of other constituencies who came and engaged in dialogue with us about various topics that weren't necessarily on the agenda, but still was a very interesting time and certainly kept everybody engaged in the conversation. The primary takeaways from the meeting substantively were concerns about new GTLD issues. As you can appreciate, I'm sure the IPC is very keen on not complicating or weakening the RPMs for new GTLDs through the implementation process. We would like to see ICANN do a better job promoting the importance of trademark protections on the fact sheets and on the websites. We would like to see, of course, drafts of the URS before an RFP is issued. We would also like to see a draft of the Trademark Clearinghouse product before for public comment as well. Lastly, on the topic of new GTLDs, we think that a webinar perhaps could be put together for parties who will be newly contracted and others in terms of what their obligations are to comply with the RPMs. The IPC would be happy to be involved in that. One of the consistent comments we've heard over the years about the UDRP in terms of registrar compliance is that the registrars simply didn't understand it, and that's why there was so much noncompliance before the compliance department appeared on the scene. We would hate to go through another 5 or 10 year period where we have contracted parties who've signed contracts but don't seem to understand what those contracts mean. And so we would be happy to help on the education front for the RPMs. The next major topic were the RAA revisions. We're, as a constituency, we're happy to welcome reports that the RAA revisions will be published before the Costa Rica meeting. We look forward to seeing those. We also look forward to a transparent negotiating process where everybody will have an opportunity to look at those and comment and be involved. Lastly, on the substantive topics, the issue of UDRP review came up. I think that one of the common themes that we hear generally is how much work not only this council has to do, but the community generally. And right now, in the middle of implementation of new GTLDs, we certainly are all quite busy. I do think that the IPC believes that there's not much appetite for yet another major project right now in the middle of all that, and would hope to see this issue deferred to an appropriate time. However, I think the consensus around the table of the IPC members that were there was that if it's going to happen, then we will be putting together a robust wish list of things that we intend to insist on, because obviously that has to be part of the process. But in any event, that was the substantive topics primarily that were covered in our meeting. We ended the meeting by thanking our wonderful counselor, Christina Rosette, who has done an amazing job over these years for the IPC. And we're going to keep her from having to bring her own motion to thank herself today. Christina's done a fantastic job, and we ended our meeting telling her how much we have appreciated her hard work and dedication to intellectual property interests.
Thank you, Paul. Anyone have any questions for Paul?
Thank you.
I hear a little echo. Okay, great. Thanks, Paul. And then the last, but certainly not the least, the Internet Service Providers and Connectivity Providers. Tony Holmes is a former counselor as well. will make the presentation.
Thanks, Jeff. The ISPCP met yesterday and discussed the following issues. The implementation of the GNSO toolkit, for which we were joined by Rob Hogarth from the ICANN staff. We discussed issues that were to form some of our later discussions with the ICANN board, including ethics and integrity and the GTLD program. The ISPCP also discussed the recommendations from the JAS Working Group, and in particular, the proposal to reduce the fee. The ISPCP support the intention to reduce fees for needy applicants, but are concerned that the Support Application Review Panel will struggle to effectively inhibit gaming of the system. We continue to support the JAS work, but will be looking to ensure an effective implementation follows once a decision is made to move forward. However, we are also concerned that failure to effectively implement the JAS recommendations has the potential to delay the GTLD program. Members of the ISPCP were also brought up to date with progress made by the commercial stakeholder group working on the budget, and we discussed the recent announcements by NTIA on the renewal of the IANA contract. Of course, IP addressing is particularly important to ISPs. We met with representatives from the NONCOM to discuss their ongoing activities, and we also discussed motions on the table for the GNSO meeting to ensure our councillors are fully conversant with the views held within the constituency. We discussed this session today and the invitation given to us to present to the GNSO Council the results of our meeting. Many of us who've been around a long time remember this process was used in the very early years of ICANN, in fact, in the days of the DNSO. It was a practice that was discontinued, and despite being here today and reporting, the ISPCP are not supportive of resurrecting this practice. Many of the issues discussed within constituency meetings do not fall under the purview of the GNSO Council and its responsibility for developing GTLD policy. Our meetings are open and anyone can attend. There's clearly a need for Council to fully engage with the broader community during its public meetings, but that should be focused on the topics that are currently being discussed by Council. And this would provide a much more effective use of the valuable time we will spend together at ICANN meetings.
Thanks, Tony. Anyone have questions? I would just like to add that, you know, we all appreciate that the meetings are open. I think, unfortunately, they schedule them all at the same time, so there's no way for those of us that are interested in what other constituencies are doing to actually get to them and participate in our own. And having this session was in no way meant to kind of exert any kind of authority over the council, but was just try to facilitate an information exchange. Appreciate the statement made by Marilyn earlier, and perhaps if we do something like this again, we can actually provide a list of topics that are within our purview for comment. So I appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just to respond to that, Jeff, I appreciate council will discuss this after, and there's nothing wrong in trying something new, so we're not against that. But the only comment I'll make is that we're now nearly an hour into the meeting and we haven't discussed GNSO policy. So I think that is proof in itself. Thank you.
Okay, anyone have any comments to that? Carlos?
Thank you, Jeff. Just a quick comment. We are here. We are the non-com appointee also. This comment is especially for the fellowship here in the room because we are into the GNSO and discuss with the constituencies and stakeholders the resolution what we take. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. And I saw a hand. Was it Adrian?
Thanks, Jeff. Adrian Kindris. So I just wanted to follow up on that. It really depends on what the purpose of these meetings are, and I just want to come back to, I think I said at the last couple of meetings where we've met publicly, it would be great to get a better understanding, and I think it's something that's evolving over time, and thankfully you won't have to hear me talk about it anymore. going forward. But to the point of, you know, I think it makes sense for us to get a bit of a snapshot of where constituencies are at and get the ability to talk directly to the heads of those stakeholder groups and constituencies in case there are any issues. It's up to them to bring up what they want to bring up. They don't have to bring up all the detail. But I do like the ability to interact with the heads of those constituencies and stakeholder groups in order to discuss any topics that we've missed over the day. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. I have Marilyn who's up at the mic, and then I'll just look around and see if anyone else is in the queue.
Thank you, Adrian. All of the constituencies and stakeholder groups have charters. In the case of the constituency and the stakeholder group I'm in, we have fairly clearly, I picked up a new term yesterday from Maggie about swim lanes that I'm going to use here. We have fairly clearly defined swim lanes. Now, when you're swimming in a lane, that doesn't mean you might not get your arm under the rope or you might not get your arm over the rope, but you're not going to get your whole body over that rope. So we have fairly well-defined swim lanes, and our counselors own the responsibility of representing the points of view of the constituency on GTLD policy issues. They are members of our executive committee, which means that they also are full participants in the decisions made about our operation of our constituency itself. Perhaps for a different discussion, we might park the topic of what we began talking about, I think, over the past few days, and that is that the GNSO is going to be profoundly affected by the new GTLD program. And maybe the thing to kind of do is to note the interest that some people may have in interacting with the chairs. I have an entire executive committee, and I'm not responsible for everything. I have a distributed team, which if we could park the topic of what it is that the council as a whole needs from communication from the constituencies, and should it be not a GTLD policy, perhaps my counselors and the other counselors could think about formulating what that is, and then we could talk about it, if that would be possible, rather than, because I have other people who are in charge.
All right, we're going to call on Tony, but I'm going to pass the baton over back to our chair.
Thanks. Tony, please go ahead, and then we've got 4 minutes left on this segment.
Okay, just a quick remark, Stefan. I don't think I'm that far away from Adrian's view. It's just how you come at this. And I would like to think I come at it both from the constituency viewpoint and also from sitting that side of the table that you guys are on now. What would be really helpful for us would be, in advance of these meetings, recognizing that you hold many meetings where we can't participate as public. It just isn't possible to do. We want to give you the input that you seek. And what would help us would be if, prior to these sessions, you actually posted to the constituencies a list of topics that you really want to seek input on. Then we could discuss them within our constituencies, come back into this forum and deliver, hopefully, what you want. I think that's the way to go about it. And it would really focus the discussion from our standpoint.
Thank you, Tony. Adrian.
That's really helpful, Tony. Thank you for bringing it up.
Right. Thanks, everyone. Any more comments or questions on this item? Seeing no hands, just want to say that this was, once again, something new that we were trying here. I think the conversation and the discussion that we've just had is very constructive. Thanks for that. I think it should continue. The GNSO has a wrap-up session that is open as well, so feel free to come to that and contribute. I'm sure the council will want to address that tomorrow, and this conversation should certainly continue with the other chairs of the groups that did not comment. We have heard from the IPC and the BC, how they feel about this process. I think it's also interesting perhaps to hear from the council, as Tony suggested, from the council and the other constituencies perhaps on how they feel, so that next open council meeting that we have a clearer roadmap of whether we want to continue doing this, and if we do, how do we want to do it. So thanks, everyone. We'll now break for 20 minutes back here at 20 past 3, please. So that's probably quarter past, so that we have time to seat everybody and begin on time. And we will begin then with the standard GNSO council meeting agenda at that point. Thanks, everyone.
Stefan, could you shorten our break of 20 minutes to at least 15?
So I know that there's a desire to get through this agenda quicker than and not end at 6. The problem with that is that we have a two-part meeting today, and we have remote participation. We have councillors dialing in remotely. So whatever happens, whether we finish in 20 minutes or at 6 p.m., we'll have to start the next meeting at 6, and the council, the new councillors will have to be back at 6. So I suggest we follow the agenda.
Stefan, if I can comment, being a councillor that won't be sitting on that meeting, I'm happy to express it through as quickly as possible and meet the old councillors by the pool.
Your constructive comments will be missed, Adrian. Okay, everyone, this is your two-minute warning. Councillors, please come back to the table, the stage, whatever it is. Okay, we will begin again, and we will start with the administrative item that we have at the start of every agenda. Glenn, could you please do a roll call of council members, please?
Certainly, Stefan. Jeff Newman?
Present.
Ching Chao?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes, present.
Tim Ruiz? Tim was online earlier. Thank you, Tim. Adrian Kinderis?
Present.
Stefan van Gelder?
Here.
Andrei Koleshnikov?
Still here.
Zaid Jamil?
Here.
John Berard?
Here.
David Taylor has a temporary alternate, and that is Brian Winterfeld. Brian?
Present.
Jamie Wagner?
Present.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Here.
Bill Drake has a temporary alternate in Konstantinos Komatis.
Present.
Wendy Seltzer?
Here.
Mary Wong?
Here.
The temporary alternate for Rafik Damak is Robin Gross. Robin's here, yes. Debbie Hughes?
Here.
Rosemary Sinclair? She's absent.
Wendy Seltzer serving as Rosemary's proxy.
Thank you, Wendy. Olga Cavelli?
Present.
Carlos Seguira?
Present.
Han Chuan Lee?
Present.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Now, there are two, I think, updated statement of interest.
Stefan, I'd
yes,
like to
Christina.
Raise a point of order, if I could.
Please go ahead.
I would just like to note for the record that one of our voting councilor members has in fact been serving and was serving yesterday as a GAC representative. And although there is nothing in our bylaws that would prohibit that, I think it leads to possible conflicts of interest and would suggest that the new council consider whether or not that is a scenario that they are comfortable with, and if not, to perhaps prepare and pass or request the passage of the appropriate bylaws amendment.
Thanks, Christina, for raising that point. In that case, I will first of all ask the council if there is any opposition to the council member in question continuing to vote in this session.
I would prefer not to, but I don't think I'll actively oppose. Sorry, too much medicine. I'm not actively opposing that person voting. I would prefer that they not, but I'm not going to actively oppose it.
Thank you. So in that case, any other opposition to this? Jeff?
No opposition, but just a question as to, can you just, Christina, I'm not familiar enough with the bylaws. Is there a violation here, or is it just a concern?
No, that's what I pointed out, is that there is no provision in our bylaws that prohibits that. But I think, especially since we have taken a view as to conflicts of interest at the board level, that perhaps it would be appropriate if we were to consider, or the new council were to consider, whether or not that scenario could lead to, or could potentially lead to, conflicts of interest. And if the conclusion to that discussion or consideration was yes, then perhaps a bylaws amendment would be in order.
Thank you. Can I ask the council member in question if that person wants to make a statement?
Thank you very much, Stefan. Just for clarification, I was a GAC member representing my country, Argentina, before joining the GNSO. I have been an advisor to the government of Argentina for more than 10 years. I'm not a government official. I don't belong as an employee of the government, but I do advise the government of Argentina in issues related with technology, internet, policy about telecommunications and internet. I was the Argentina representative in Tunis in WISIS with some people which were diplomats, and I also teach in the diplomat career in Argentina technology. I'm also a university teacher, and in this as an academic and as an investigator of technology and policy related with technology, I joined the GNSO, and I served the GNSO as a non-com appointee for 4 years. And as I am finishing my mandate as non-com appointee today, I will rejoin the GAC. I haven't been participating actively. I didn't talk, I didn't vote, I didn't anything in the GAC, but I just wanted to be aware of the documents that they are talking about. This is why I joined them yesterday. I talked to Heather Dryden. I already sent a new letter of appointment from my government, which is in her hands. So this is all I have to say. If I cannot vote, that's not a problem. If is that a problem for the council, that's not a problem for me. So if you feel, Christina, comfortable that I don't vote, that's okay.
Thank you, Olga. Any further comments? Let the records show that I see no opposition to Olga voting in this meeting. We will now continue with the updated statements of interests, and I have two, one from Christina and one from Rafiq. Please refer to the GNSO Council website to see those statements of interests, or to the Council email list. I believe Glenn has sent those in. So we'll move on to item 1.3. Does anyone want to review, amend, or comment the agenda at this time? Hearing none, no amendments to the agenda. Let's move to item 4. And just to point out that the minutes from the October the 6th meeting were approved on October the 24th. We will now move to item 2, our pending projects list. The list has just been finished. We were reviewing it. The latest edition of the list was reviewed up until yesterday, so this item is not up to date, and I will not read through it at this time. We will post the new list either today or tomorrow. We will try and do that very quickly. And just to note that, as we do at every open council meeting, we have an open microphone slot after every item, agenda item. So at this time, if anyone wishes to make any comments, either online or in the room, please do so. Jamie.
I would just like to know if a drafting team is considered a project or not, and I would point that cross-constituency work group drafting team is not marked in this list of the pending projects.
Thank you, Jamie. Anyone from staff want to comment on that? We'll just take note of it then and review the list. I'm sorry? Ask him again.
I'm sorry, what's your question? This is Margie.
The question is if the drafting team is considered a project or not, and if the cross-constituency work group drafting team should not be in the list of the pending projects.
I believe it's in the project list, actually.
Okay, well, we'll make a note of the question and review that list and make sure that it is. Any further comments? Marika.
I think you understand your question now, Jamie, because you're talking about why it's not listed as an added working group. It was already there as a drafting team, but now it's transformed into a working group, so that's why it's not specifically listed as a new added project.
Any further comments? We will move to item 3, an item on our open council meeting drafting team. I alluded to this earlier on today when we were going through the constituency and stakeholder group presentations and to the work that the council has been doing on revisiting the way we structure our open council meetings in an attempt to improve the way that we work. I said at the time that there's a council group working on this. I believe Adrian Kindris has been leading that group, and he is going to give us an update on the work of the group. Adrian, please.
Thank you, Stefan. First of all, it's a surprise to me that I'm the leader of the group. And I have nothing prepared by way of an update. So let me tell you a story. Who is on that? John Berard is the leader of that group, isn't he? And John's not here, so I'll continue to tell a story. So thank you for throwing it to me. So as far as I know, with respect to this meeting, John and I got together. We tossed around a couple of ideas about trying to mix up the meeting a little bit to try to increase public participation and ensure that this wasn't the snore fest that it had become over the last 3 or 4 meetings. We stalled a little bit in our progress just due to the workload. John did some good work. I sent him through an email, and I think he then added to my email and forwarded that through to the list. Jeff Newman, did you get that eventually?
Eventually, yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of all it was just a few inputs for me. I noticed none of them have been implemented in this meeting, probably because they were rubbish ideas. But I'm okay with that as I am now leaving. However, being an interested party in future meetings and coming in and throwing tomatoes and other such rotten fruit at the council, it would be good if I knew the format that was to go in. So I think there is still some growth that can happen over the journey, and it would be good that the council continued with this work in my absence, so I hope that you can assign a leader and make sure that leader knows that they have been assigned that role.
Thank you, Adrian. Sorry for taking you by surprise. I would remind the council that the agenda is published on the list for comment a few days before each council meeting, and sometimes it may be worth reading it. I believe John has a question.
If the speaker has his computer on, he must mute it or be on a headset, please. Thank you.
John, I have to interrupt you. We cannot hear you. I'm told that if you have your computer on while you're speaking, you must mute your computer. Can you try again, please? Okay, we can hear you better now. But I'm sorry that the point you were making earlier on got lost.
The point
Or if he's using a speakerphone, that won't work. You have to use a real handset. Otherwise, it creates the echo. It may not be you, but someone on the phone somewhere has a speakerphone on or something open that's causing that loop.
John, we can hear you, so perhaps try and make that point. We can read it off the transcript as well. Okay. Jamie.
Stefan, maybe it would be useful to give an advice to all those that are participating remotely how to use the speakers.
Okay. And the instructions are not to have your computer noise up or volume up and not to use a speakerphone, I believe, although I'm not a telecommunications technician, but that's what I heard. John, do you still want to try and... Okay, I think we may have lost John. We'll try and get him back. Any further comments on this? Any suggestions on any improvements that we may consider to these meetings?
So just offhand, and as I say, these were draft and just my ideas at the time. So we got bogged down in, I believe in once again, these are just Adrian's ideas, so I am a little bit shy about bringing them up. But not shy. I've never been shy in my life. With respect to potentially, I felt that we were being bogged down with respect to the motions. And we as a group, I think, have spoken a number of times that we often are changing editing motions on the fly. And there can be nothing more boring than an audience participant to watch that process. It's painful enough being active in it. To watch it unfold in front of you isn't very helpful. And I was I came up with the idea that potentially this should be just an ability for the community, because we don't normally have the community being able to interact with us, trying to find a way to deal with the motions and whether we dealt with them in a separate session or something. And then allowed the community to really pick through the current issues of the council and ensure that they were able to discuss and debate them. So I wanted to create an environment and a forum where this was possible, and make it more a workshop than in actual fact a meeting where we sit up here and everybody's down there, but to try to get everybody to engage. So the ideas I had were to maybe separate out some of the motion stuff. Maybe we could have dealt with that on Saturdays and Sundays, although I understand there are some logistical issues with that. Once again, these were just embryonic ideas that John and I tossed around. John had a lot more. He's very good at this sort of thing and about really trying to ensure that our stakeholder engagement was paramount and that we were ensuring that that was facilitated. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Adrian. Any comments? Jonathan.
Hi, Stefan. I'll throw my hat in the ring. It's perhaps controversial. I'm not sure. I don't understand in this particular context why we need whereas in front of every preamble clause. Frankly, from my point of view, it just is intimidating language that needn't be there. And if necessary, one can put a single whereas in front of all of them. But there's no reason I can see why one doesn't describe this as a preamble or an introduction, strip out all the whereases and get on with describing the background to the motion. So that would be a very simple change that could make us slightly more accessible and clearer in our way of working.
Thanks, Jonathan. We've also had discussion whether we should read the motions at all before we take a vote, which has always been the subject of some disagreement on the council. The reason we do it is because some people listen in to the calls remotely but don't have the text in front of them. So if we don't read the motions out, they don't know what we're voting on. As technology advances, it may be the case that fewer and fewer people join the council meetings, just listening in, and more people actually have access to the text. So that's probably something that we'll also have to look at. But these are good points, and I hope the people on the Open Council Meeting drafting team will be able to take these on and see what they can do with them. Any further comments? Any comments from the room or the remote, the people participating remotely, Margie?
Michaela Nealon says drop whereas is a good move. So he's commenting on that suggestion.
Thank you, Michaela. Any further comments? Adrian.
Yeah, I think this is a good forum for those that are sitting out there that this can be one of the more painful meetings. So any way, sitting there now, that any way that you want to get more information or anything, now's a good time to come and speak at the microphone to let us know. How can we improve this forum? How can we make it from just a you sit and we speak and you listen for a little while and then fall asleep for a majority? How do we change that and get a little bit more of a dynamic environment happening? That's the point of the working group that we had. And so any feedback you've got right now about how we can change up, and maybe it's just get Adrian to shut up for 5 minutes, that may be some positive feedback we can take back to the council.
Yeah, I want to echo that. I mean, I don't know if it's worried, not the shut up bit, Adrian, of course. But I'm just slightly worried now. I see Steve standing up, so I'm less worried that there was no input from the room on this, because it either means that you're already asleep and we've just started, or it means that you feel the meetings at the moment are the way they should be, and I know the council feels that that's not the case. So if there's a disconnect there, maybe. But Steve.
Thank you. Thank you, Stefan. Steve Del Bianco with NetChoice. I would only make an observation that any legislative body has to, by nature, work through motions. Whether the whereas is in there once or every time is really neither here nor there, so figure that out. But when a motion is put forth, and maybe it's deferred a few times, it's modified, there are amendments provided, that whole process is something you've lived through for the past 3 or 4 months sometimes. But those of us here in the meeting don't always know what's gone into it, and often a lot goes into it in the very last hours before the meeting. So I would say that when we get to the meat of what council does at these meetings, it's legislative, it's motions, that the mover of a motion may simply explain it, but somehow we have to convey what's happened, what's the history behind a motion, that it was born and raised in an issues report, it turned into a motion that was modified, and who seconded and why. And then at the last minute, if something has happened, if something's been withdrawn, what we crave is an explanation of what really went into it and what we really expect to happen next. And that would be something to keep us all awake at the very least. Thanks, Stefan.
Thanks, Steve. Looks like Adrian's call to arms has worked. We could hire you as an MC for the council. Philip.
Thank you, Philip Shepherd. Whereas I recall some time ago that, in fact, many years ago, there were no whereas clauses in council motions. Whereas this caused enormous confusion in terms of where it came from, whereas it also meant that nobody was really certain council had done a good job in terms of due diligence and history, whereas a certain chairman of the Names Council, who should go nameless, might have been guilty for introducing this in the first place, I would suggest indeed there was a good use for that. I think Jonathan's suggestion that one whereas is enough in the text is a jolly good one. And I'd also think, actually, that to be more serious, I mean, that the point is simply to show historical context and thoroughness, and that there is a sense of history and continuity in the decision making. But indeed, when it comes to actually reading out a motion, I think probably, certainly, and because there is that text is available in so many other ways, it is largely unnecessary as part of a motion under discussion. And I'd have thought a good practice to consider would be certainly just to look at the substantive motion and get on with that and have that discussion rather than wasting time over the fact that council has actually done quite a good job of understanding history.
Thanks, Philip. Former chair of the Names Council, of course. Mikko.
Thanks, Stefan. I generally would agree with what the other speakers have been saying. I mean, the entire GNSO structure and everything seems very impenetrable. Oh, we lost power or air conditioning. I'm Irish, I break things. Plain English, which would make it easier for the translators to convert into plain French, plain Spanish, and plain whatever other languages, when just explaining in really, really simple terms what on earth this emotion or a PDP or some other thing is about. I mean, some...